There's a story that's told of a powerful naval vessel with great command of the seas. Might, armaments, almost not able to be defeated. But it was clear, though it was difficult to see, that a collision course was occurring with another vessel. The communication is reported this way. The naval commander says, please, to the other, divert your course 15 degrees to the south to avoid a collision. The second vessel responds, recommend you divert your course 15 degrees to the south to avoid a collision. The first commander, this is the captain of a Navy vessel. I say again, divert your course. Second vessel, no. I say again, divert your course. The naval commander, this is the second largest ship in the Atlantic fleet. We are accompanied by three destroyers, three cruisers, numerous support vessels. I demand that you change your course 15 degrees north. That's 15 degrees north or south. But 15 degrees away, or countermeasures will be undertaken to ensure the safety of this ship. Pause. The response. This is a lighthouse. It's your call. The commander changed their course. But you know, we're a little like that at times. We think we've got the answers. We're confident we've got the answers. In fact, sometimes we're confident we've got the answers better than anybody else. But sometimes the Lord knows, I said sometimes the Lord knows better than we. How many can say all the time the Lord knows better than we do? But we think we've got the answers, we think we've got the power, we think we've got the wisdom, and really what we need, come on church, is Jesus and His family. Yes. I said, really what we need is the Lord Jesus Christ and His family involved in our lives. Well, wait a minute, I'd rather sleep in on Sunday morning. I got sports to watch, I got things to do, I got people to see, places to go, and God is saying, you need me and you need my family. God didn't create you or me to be enough in ourselves. But there's safety in having a lighthouse on the shore and another vessel next to us and someone else who can help us and see when we can't. There's safety. 2 weeks ago, we began a series called Spring Up, O Well, and we dealt with the life story a bit of Isaac. Abraham, you recall, Isaac and Jacob. And Isaac was going to turn back to the world. Isaac was the son of promise. But Isaac needed his father's well. You recall, Abraham was promised late in life that he would have a son and he and Sarah would have a child. And Sarah laughed and Abraham said, ain't no way. And God said, I heard a laugh. And he said, no. He said, no, you laugh, but it's going to come to pass. And it did. But Isaac, the son of promise, the miracle son, needed his father's wells. Now, I'm not going to take very long this morning, but I just want to talk about this for a moment. Remember when Abraham took his son Isaac up into the mount to sacrifice him, he was willing to, he had surrendered to the Lord who had called him to do such a thing, and at the last moment, because he was a yielded vessel and obeyed what God had asked him to do, God provided a ram in the thicket. Remember? And Father God took His own Son and sacrificed Him on the cross of Calvary for us. The Lamb of God, the final sacrifice, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And Jesus, therefore, was then the firstborn among many brethren, the firstborn of the resurrection. Somebody say, thank God. Jesus died, was buried, and rose again for you and for me. But how many know He has provided so much? But sometimes there's a difference between His provision and our practice. That's the nasty reality, isn't it? A difference between His provision and our practice. How many want to make His provision our practice? We want to walk in spirit and truth. We want to walk according to His word. We want to learn. We want to grow. We want to be the people He wanted us and wants us to be. Each generation needs its own powerful surrender and relationship to Jesus Christ. My sons need it. I needed it. My grandfather was apparently a wonderful man of God and a preacher. Died before I was born. I was the kid of a preacher's kid. I was the third kid of a preacher's kid. I was the youngest kid of a preacher's kid, which meant I could never get out of going to church. Couldn't stand church, but I could never get out of going to church. It wasn't until, I got saved and gave my life to the Lord that going to the church, going to the people of God, made a difference in my life. But we're going to talk for just a few minutes this morning about Isaac needing his father's well. Because in a time of famine, how many remember where Isaac started to turn? He started to go back to Egypt, which is a type in the scriptures of the world. And God said, no, don't go back to Egypt. God stops him. Stick around. I've got more than you know. I have provision that you don't know anything about. But you've got to surrender to me, Isaac. Stick with my plan. And I've got something for you. But you're going to have to investigate and discover it for your own life. Because every person in this room needs a personal relationship with Jesus. And then you discover how much He's got for you. But if you're just trying to think about religion from a distance, there's a sports game on Sunday morning. If you're just trying to investigate religion with a robe or something else that looks like religion and you're not involved with a relationship with Jesus yourself, it's not going to make a whole lot of difference to you. But Jesus is reaching His hands to you right here this morning and saying, I've got a well for you to drink from. I've got living water. And maybe you say to me, it's dry, it's barren. There's a lot of sand out here in the desert place. I'm not getting the life that I need. And Jesus says, come on, I've got something for you. How many think that God's got something more for you than you know about right now? Do you know He knows you? He knows who you are. Jesus knows the number of hairs on your head, the Bible says. And some of us are having fewer nowadays. But He's got water. He's got living water. He's got a fresh well for you. He says to Isaac, don't turn away. There's water you don't know anything about. How many days can you live without water? How many? Come on, shout it out. Three? Any more? Five? Maybe 3 to 5 days. But not long. And I'm here to tell you this morning, if the river of the Holy Spirit is not flowing in your life, then there's not life in your spirit. You cannot live without the presence of God in your life. No water, no life. No river of God, no life. And I want to tell you one other thing. The devil will do anything he can to clog up your well. He'll do anything he can to clog up your well. You go, man, I've had life at times. I've felt the presence of God at times. But that well just seems to be clogged up. But Isaac had to redig his father's wells. Watch the scripture. Genesis 26. If you're using your tablet or your phone or a Bible you have in front of you, we have Bibles in the back. But I want you to take a look at some of these scriptures. I'm not going to have them all written out, but this one I do. Genesis chapter 26, verses 15 through 18. Now the Philistines. And who were the Philistines? They were the enemies of the armies of God. They were the enemies of Israel. The Philistines had stopped up all the wells which his father's servants had dug in the days of Abraham, his father. And they had filled them all with, say it with me please, earth. with earth. And Abimelech said to Isaac, go away from us, for you are much mightier than we. Then Isaac departed from there and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. And Isaac, say it with me, please read it with me, verse 18. And Isaac dug again. I'm in chapter 26, verse 18. And Isaac dug again the wells of water which they had dug in the days of Abraham his father. For the Philistines had stopped them up after the days of Abraham. He called them by the name, the names which his father had called them. That was, they stopped them up. Literally in the Hebrew, that means he made them hidden. They fill them full of earth. I think, Michael, you said the other thing that's true according to commentaries. They threw carcasses of dead animals in there. They would stop up these wells and basically to hide them from usage. You weren't going to get any usage of them. The devil wants to take away from you the usage of what God has provided. Remember, he's provided, and our practice isn't what he's provided, and the devil does everything he can to take away what he's provided. So these wells were filled in. He steals, kills, and destroys. If the enemy of your soul can convince you that you don't have what God says you have, how is your life going to go? One of the best things I know about Bob and Barbara is he's always talking about, I don't even like to sing songs that don't confess the truth. Neither do I. We try not to sing any of those songs around here. But the confession of your heart is absolutely crucial. And even if it doesn't agree necessarily with the Word of God today, I want to confess what the Word of God says, because God's Word is true. The Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. So if the devil can steal away truth from you, you won't be able to live that truth. Make his provision your practice. Now come with me to the New Testament. Go to John chapter 4, please. John chapter 4, we're going to deal with another well. Jacob's well and the Messiah. John chapter 4. Now, you recall that it's absolutely essential for fresh water for humans, for crops, for the animals. Isaac dug wells. His son then, Jacob, dug wells. And in John chapter 4, we have the story of Jesus meeting the woman at Jacob's well. What happened? Northern Israel, if you recall, went into captivity because they're unrepented from sin, and they were stolen away by Assyria. The northern tribes were captured by Assyria, the southern tribes by Babylon. The Assyrian tribes would steal the people or take the people away when they were conquered, and then they would repopulate the land with all sorts of mixed groups of people from all sorts of other lands they had conquered. And that became the root of the people who became known as the Sumerians. The Sumerians. How many remember? The Sumerians. All right, so Jesus is coming here to this well, which is basically in Samaria. Now, to recall the story, again, you need the context of what happened here. Because the Samaritans, or the Sumerians rather, were not invited by Judah when they returned from Babylonian captivity to rebuild their temple. You remember they were how long in captivity? 70 years. They came back to rebuild their temple, didn't want anything to do with the Sumerians to rebuild their temple, because those from Judah felt they were a bunch of, if you will, poor term, very derogatory term, you don't use it, but they were half-breeds in their perspectives. They were not quality people, they weren't true Israelites, they weren't true Jewish people. And so they didn't have anything to do with them, and then animosity from then on with the Sumerians. Right? Y'all with me? Y'all remember what I'm talking about? So Jesus meets a woman at the well and he talks to her. She's shocked. What are you doing talking to me? Why are you even coming through Samaria? As he's sitting down at the well. So that's all part of the mix. John 4, verses 11 through 14. The woman says to him, sir, you have nothing to draw water with. Because Jesus says, give me some water. Right? And she says, man, oh man, why are you even talking to me? And he says, if you knew who you were talking to, I'd give you living water and you'd never thirst again. And she says, I want that kind of water. I don't want to have to come to this well anymore. I don't want to have any more thirst. But she says, sir, you have nothing to draw with. The well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well, drank it from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock? Verse 13 of John chapter 4, Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. Whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. She says, I want it. Then what did he say? Go get your husband. You remember the story, some of you? Go get that husband of yours. And she goes, I don't have a husband. And he looks at her and he says, you're right, honey. In fact, you've had five of them, and the one you're living with now is not your own. He read her mail to her. She says, as you read the scripture, it's pretty cool. She says, I perceive that you are a prophet. And he could have looked at her and said, I perceive you're a genius. But I want to talk about that for just a split moment here. Can you imagine the level of the rejection this woman felt? In that day, in that society, they could divorce you at the drop of a hat. If you didn't cook a meal right, they could divorce you and you'd be cast off and then go to another man or possibly become a prostitute. But it was so shameful in that society. She didn't just go through one. She was rejected by two, three, four, five men rejected her. And now she's living with someone who possibly, probably is some other woman's husband. In fact, you don't read in this section of Scripture that she came to the well during the busiest time of the day. We don't read that there was anybody else at the well. How many think she might have come to that well with her shame, with her fear, with her horrible sense of rejection, and she's just not getting anywhere in life, but this is the life she's got to live. And the Messiah, Jesus, looks right at her and says, I don't care what people think I should do. You're a woman with a need, and I care, and I want to give you living water. No matter who you are this morning in this room, no matter what you have done, no matter who you are, Jesus sees you and he knows you and he loves you and he's got living water for you. How many think this woman might have crossed herself off of God's favorite list? And God said, I see you and I know you and I want to give you water that brings you life forever. He literally changed the course of her life. He changed the course of her life. Turned 15 degrees south. No, 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 you do it. I'm the lighthouse. You better turn or you're in trouble. Jesus said, it's time for you to come face to face with what's happened in your life. And come know that I've got living water for you. And I love you enough to help you face the reality of your life and give you water of life. I'm ready to dig up and spring up a new well inside of you. John 4:28-30, powerful scriptures. The woman then dropped, it looks like to me. She left her water pot. She went her way into the city and she said to the men, come, see a man who told me all the things that I've ever done. Could this be the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came to him. Verse 39 tells us of John 4. Many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified. He told me all I ever did. I just want to say one more time, and I say this with great love. If you think this morning that the Lord doesn't know you right down to the tiniest speck in your life, you're wrong. He knows you, and you know the beauty is, he still loves you and me. Right down to the speck. Right down to the thing you're deathly terrified somebody else is going to find out about. Because they'll reject you. And Jesus says, son and daughter, not only will I not reject you, I love you. And I came here to this well today to give you living water. She's met by Jesus. It changes her life forever. You know, the families, and it's still true today, if you don't have any water, you don't have a town. You think of Flint, Michigan, still drinking from bottled water. You think of those poor folks. But you have this happening over and over again. They get a well, they have a town, and they have a community. The church, the people of God, the place where you come to worship Jesus, where you come to have the Word of God open to you. Guess what? That's the well in the town. It's the center of life and activity. And church is not the building. Church is the people of God who have gathered in faith and who love Him and let that river flow. And some people think, I don't need the church. Casual about the church. Rather not have the church. And Jesus looks at you this morning and says, you need me and my people. You need me and my people. And the water of life can spring back up out of a well that you maybe threw some of the world and some of the dust and some of the dirt in. And He wants you to dig that well back up. The Bible says in Hebrews 10, 24 through 25, let us consider one another to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another so much the more as you see the day approaching. You know, Jesus only really says this about one thing about His church. He said, I will what? Build my church. The Greek word ekklesia, the called out ones, the disciples, not just a follower, not just a believer, a disciple of the Lord who wants Him. I ask you gently, not painfully this morning, because I ask it of myself as well. Is your well clogged up? Do you need to redig the well? Do you need Jesus, His Spirit, to bubble up again and burst through the earth that has it bound for fresh life? The family of God provides living water, worship in spirit and truth, and the gifts of the Spirit to flow, and teaching and His Word and communion and celebration together, and relationships where you get to make things right. If they go wrong, you don't cut and run on one another. You make it right and walk down this road together. And there's function and value and service and life and strength that you get in the family of God. We call it the church. But the church is God's people. Let me give you one warning. I was reading this week in my Bible reading, as you may have read, in Judges chapter 18, verses 27 and 28, and the tribe of Dan still had to occupy the territory that had been provided for them, but about this one community, it has this one scripture. One of the cities that was conquered, it says, there was no one to rescue them because they lived a long way from Sidon and had no relationship with anyone else. You know, you don't really need the church until you do. Right? Other people need you, and you need other people. And that's what the family of God's all about. Look on your right hand and on your left, and then look back at me. I want to see y'all do that. Look at the person on either side of it. Go ahead. Now look back at me, because I don't want you looking at them when I ask you this. Is that person perfect?
No.
You didn't have to call it out that loud. Because I'm on this side of her. I know what you mean. No. But you know what? You're not going to get perfect on your own. We get perfect, mature, as we walk together. Each of our wells bubbling with life, letting Jesus let His river flow through us together. And if you have a stream, and you have a stream, and you have a stream, and you have a stream, you come together and you end up with a mighty rushing river of the Spirit of God flowing in our lives. You see, that captain of that naval vessel had every right to believe he was full of power. But when that sense of power goes to pride, it leads to shipwreck. And had he not obeyed or listened to an adjustment that came from the White House, from the lighthouse. I know many of you are praying that some word will come from the White House. Well, there was a slip, boy, I tell you. Lord, we pray your word will come from the White House. We pray your word will come from Congress. I don't know. Anyway. But you know, you got to be in relationship with one another to be able to speak a word of life to one another. If you're a have hit, will travel, I won't trust that word. You hear what I'm saying? I'll 10 times, much more quickly, listen. I'll try to always listen to a word from God. But I'll 10 times listen, 100 times listen, much closer to somebody who's hung in there with me through the years faithfully, walking down this road together, than I will somebody who says, have word, will travel. How many remember have guns, will travel? You know? No. Talking to the right crowd, I couldn't say this in a college crowd. What? River of life. River of life. Spring up, O well. The captain changed his course, humbled himself to the word, and he responded and kept his team alive. Keep drinking from the wells of life. Keep coming to the well of the family of God. Stand with me, would you, church? Jesus loves you so much. If you're here this morning as a guest, we are so glad you're here. We invite you back to celebrate with us. And Bob and Barbara, thank you so much for sharing your music with us this morning. I mean, we were honestly treated. It was a royal treat. And it's that kind of joy we get to celebrate every week together in the presence of God. Don't we? It's a good thing to be a part of the family, right? Yeah. Nudge each other next to each other and say, it's great to be with you. Musicians, will you come? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the grace of God that works in our lives. We thank you, Lord, for the Spirit of God that moves among us. Thank you, Lord, that you have been so gracious to us again, even this morning, and that we've had this time to be together. Now, Lord, bless each one as they go from this place. My life is in you, Lord. My strength is in you. My help is in you. My hope is in you and in the family of God. And we are so grateful to be yours. In Jesus' name. And they all said, amen. If you're here this morning and you've not given your life to Jesus, I urge you, let this be the day you do it. He loves you so much. He said it over and over to us this morning. So go out with joy. People around here would love to lead you to Jesus if you haven't already done that. If you have, come on back and join us again. We love you guys. For the blessing, please. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And they all said,
amen.
Amen. God bless you. Have a fantastic day in the Lord.